Morning, everyone. I've been here all day, so I'm not really sure what time of day it is. It's been one of those days which I love. I'm not so sure my family do, although maybe they do because Daddy's not home. But it's great to be here. I'm Rick. I oversee the youth and kids ministry, and we're going to dive into God's Word. The guys have got Bibles, unless you've got it on your phone or you've actually brought your own Bible with you. Wherever it is, whichever part of the Bible you're going to use, whether it's an actual Bible or on your app, I'm not suggesting that it's not a Bible, put your thumb into Psalm 23 and put your another finger into John 10. Great. Before we open God's Word, let me pray. Lord, I thank you for your Word. I thank you that it was relevant in the days when Jesus was walking around the planet, and it is still relevant today. And Lord, as we open this really well-known passage, Lord, maybe we've read it hundreds and hundreds of times before. Lord, drop something afresh into us, or remind us of something that we committed to but we haven't followed through on. Give us ears that are ready and a heart that is open. In your name. Amen. So as you've heard, our leader's wife, Gareth and Lizzie, they're our leaders. And Lizzie has run the London Marathon today. It's been amazing to follow her on that journey. I remember the day that she came into, or she maybe just put it on our staff messaging stuff, that she got a chance to run in the London Marathon. We've known about her training regime daily. We've known the number. We've been following her and tracking her. Even this morning, we put the screen. You can live track people if you know people on the marathon, and we watched as she was gradually going further and further around the course. But I wonder, who is it that you follow? And why do you follow them? I nearly didn't get a job here because I'm a Man United fan. And I am proud of that. And I'm not a Glory supporter because I was there in the days before Alex Ferguson. I'm not that old. And I remember the days when it wasn't great for United, but I still followed them. Who is it that you follow? And why do you follow them? We've all got stories of why we follow various people. Today, in the delights of social media, we've got so many different things that we can follow. I was at a family barbecue yesterday, and I was talking with one of the younger members of our family, and she is on everything. Although she has got 30 notifications, which means that annoying red dot on the app, for Facebook. And I questioned whether she was a proper young person. In actual fact, she told me she was, because young people don't do Facebook anymore. The thing is, like, those of us who are a little bit older than that were like, I've just found Facebook. It's amazing. I can find out what these people are doing. You know, it's Twitter, it's Instagram, it's Snapchat. It's all of these things that are incredible things, and we can follow different people on them. Who is it that you follow? I follow too many people, and I'll be honest, some of them, I'll just press the button, it'll just refresh straight away, and it'll move on about 400 different tweets, and then I'll be like, oh yeah, I forgot that one. And then Gareth will come in, the boss, and he'll say, oh, did you see the tweet that I retweeted? And I'll be like, yeah, I really did, because I really follow you. Because it is also about who did you follow me? How many likes have I got? And all of this kind of stuff. But when we're going to open and read John 10, we're talking about sheep and shepherds. And sheep only follow the shepherd, or the shepherd is the one that ushers them on. Or maybe they bring out their nice little dog that moves them on as well. So, who do you follow is going to be a question I ask you quite a lot as we unpack this bit of scripture. So, John 10, I'm going to read from 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Who do you follow? Why do you follow them? I love the I am statements. Jesus saying, I am this. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate to the sheep, which is talked about earlier in this passage. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Now, Jesus is coming and he is giving out the new kind of the way of the new covenant of what is God's about. And I am echoes in eternity all the way back to the point of Moses, where Moses says, who do I say sends me to Pharaoh? And God is really, really helpful because he just says, just tell him, I am. Sorry? No, I am. There was a guy the other week who got he got sent off on a football game because the referee thought that he was taking the mickey when he went to get booked. So he'd gone in for a tackle, he'd got the yellow card, and the referee always writes down his name. The referee said, "What's your name?" He said, "It's Watt." He said, "No, what's your name? Watt?" And what? And then he got a red card because the referee thought his name was Watt. He can't help his name. That was what he was given. You know, Moses can't help going into Pharaoh and going, hi, who sent you? I am. But that's because of the completeness of who God is. And in these statements, Jesus is saying, this is who I am. Because I am the completeness of God as man on the planet and doing the things that actually all of the people who've looked after Israel in the past should have been doing. But instead, you haven't. This is who he is through me, because I am is I am. And in the wider context of this story, in actual fact, I wish that we had time to read chapters 9 and 10 all together, because that is this context of where this all comes out of. It's not just a standalone little bit of scripture. This goes back to Jesus healing a guy by spitting on the ground, making mud and putting it on his eyes. Now, I love to do that example when I work with children, because they're told not to spit, but then they're told that Jesus did do it, and then they want to practice. as Jesus does this miracle, and then he walks, Jesus just leaves him, and he can see, he's like, wow, I've never seen this stuff before. And then he walks, and everyone finds out about it, and then he walks into the synagogue, and they're like, were you not the guy who was born blind? He's like, yeah. How did you do this? Mud in my eyes, and I can see. And they really quiz him, but he really hasn't got any answers apart from it was a guy. That's all I know. And then his parents are brought in front of all of these people. Is this your son? Yes. What's he done wrong this time is normally what comes out of my mother's mouth. Yes. But they were frightened because of what they thought was going to happen to them, because were they relating with Jesus? And they even said, pretty much, he is of age. He's not our problem now. And then he stands there and he says, yeah, it's me. Look at the end, like John 9, you know. As they replied, you were steeped in, how dare you? And they throw him out of the synagogue. And then verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus goes at the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are there, and they say, so, what? Are we blind too? Jesus answered, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. And if you were to go back even further into your Bible, you'd read Ezekiel 34, and we'd find out that God is really displeased with the people that he's put in place to be the shepherds, to look after his people. In actual fact, he says to them, no, you keep on doing the wrong thing. You keep on taking the best bits for yourself, but not really caring for them. And then God says, I'm going to bring out a new plan. I'm going to bring in David. I'm going to bring in the son of David. I'm going to bring in. And then he says, you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people. And I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. He is wanting to reestablish, even in Ezekiel, the fact that this good shepherd is coming, and the good shepherd is one who lays down his life for the sheep. Now, I'm not sure that it was suggested to me that this next picture is a little bit, looks like our intern. Now, the sheep doesn't look anything like our intern, but possibly Giles does look a little bit like that. And it's definitely not Jesus. But the good shepherd, Jesus, he is willing to lay his life for the flock. He is willing to die. He is coming in. Why? Because he's noticing that the hired hands, if anything goes wrong, they'll very quickly scarper. Because it doesn't mean anything to them. Whereas for the good shepherd, it means everything. It means everything. Now, jump into Psalm 23. And I know that I even said this to a friend of mine the other day. I said, oh, Psalm 23, it's always read at really solemn, sad occasions. But the reality is that Psalm 23 tells us everything about the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
What is it that a good shepherd does? He does everything that Psalm 23 says. It protects, it provides, it's even sacrificial. It brings comfort, it brings all of those things, and yet we don't always get it. Because we don't always want to follow. We don't always want to go the way that we are asked to go. We were in staff prayers at some point this week, and we were looking at the angel coming to Mary, and it just says at the beginning of that bit of scripture, and God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, and he went. There was no kind of like, oh, well, actually, I can't do that right now. I've got to go. I'll go. For us, sometimes, as those people, part of the flock, do we always go when the shepherd tells us to go? Are we willing to follow, even through the valley of the shadow of death? Even in those really low moments, are we willing to go? Because that is what he is willing us to do. I am the good shepherd. I will put myself before them. He is pretty much saying. I came across this quote by Alexander the Great. I'm not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep. I'm afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion. Now, I did make a kind of a little... I had a bit of chat with myself this week as I was thinking about what we're going to talk about. And lots of talks I've heard about this scripture is that, you know, we're all dumb sheep and we don't really know what we're doing, so we needed a shepherd to help us. That's not what I read in this. We need a shepherd because otherwise we scarper and we're scattered. But I would rather be part of an army of sheep that's led by a lion. Because that's where we get things happening. I do like to watch the odd David Attenborough program. It's good to do confession, isn't it? And when you see a lion doing all that a lion is asked and called to do, it's incredible. The power, the majesty, the way it just holds itself. And what is it that a lion does for the area and for its pride? He protects. He provides by sending out the lionesses to go and get the kill. He will even put himself on the line. Why? Because he wants to keep his pride in his land. He wants that to happen, and so that's all that he does. And so whenever there is a younger lion coming around, you see that kind of that muscle-bound beast flying at them, and it's just brutal. And as I read this about Jesus being the good shepherd, he is willing to put himself before us and the enemy to say, I am going to lay down my life for you. Why? Because I love the sheep. I love the people in my flock. I will protect them. I will do all that I can, even though they may at times wander off. Even though at times they may not always understand me, I will stick by them and I will protect them. Because that is what a good shepherd does. And obviously we've got the Chronicles of Narnia and that sense of Aslan, and just that image in me just incredible in the way that Jesus is. So, he is the good shepherd and we are the sheep. There's quite a lot of references about sheep and following and pastures and all that kind of stuff within the Bible. And so I think that we need to know a little bit more about sheep. They've got four stomachs. That would be really helpful at Christmas. They've actually got really good senses. Like they can actually distinguish colours. They can distinguish taste. Who knew that? I didn't until I Googled it. Touch for sheep is really important. If you watch a mother, a ewe with her lamb, it's like centimetres away. Always close by for that protection, for that security. And then two things that really stuck out at me, and if you were this morning, I apologise, but there's something about their hearing. They are incredible at hearing. They've got, like, they can move their ears to the sounds and they can differentiate between all. It's incredible. But as I was kind of praying it through, I was thinking, do I often listen? Because Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. How do we get to know people? By spending time with them and listening to them. How often do we really spend time listening and being still? And we can make all the excuses in the world, but to know Jesus is the most incredible thing. And yet, we don't always take the time to stop and listen. The other thing that's amazing about sheep is they've got really great long eyesight. They can see, but they can't see the thing that's right in front of them. Their eyes don't allow them to do that. They can look backwards. That's quite cool. But they can't see what's right in front of them. Reminds me of me quite a bit, actually. I can't always see what's right in front of me. I can't always see the things that are stop blocking me from actually going and doing the stuff that I really see over there, but I need to clear that stuff out of the way. So as followers of Jesus, we know that he died for us. We know that he was willing to put his life on the line for us. He was willing to do that stuff. Why? Because of love. And that's where that security, that protection comes from. And yet at times I take it for granted. I become like, oh yeah, it's all right, it's Jesus. Becomes like my best mate, and he is my best mate. But at the same time, he's king of the universe. He overcame things so that I can be known as a child of God. He overcame so that you can be a child of God. It's incredible. So there's a challenge for us in it, but also he talks about the other flock and that one day they're all going to come together and there'll be one shepherd. And in Jewish times, he's talking about he's not just here for the Jewish people, for Israel, but he's also here for the Gentiles, those that weren't Jewish. Now today, who are the people that aren't yet part of the flock that you're still praying for? We might have been praying for 50 years for people, and we still haven't seen a breakthrough. But you never know. We have to keep on praying. We have to keep on saying, God, bring in those people from whichever flock they're part of right now, because who is it that they're following? Because at the moment, they're not following Jesus. A real sadness for me is my brother grew up in exactly the same house. He went through exactly the same experience of church, and yet he could not be further away from the building. And I'm praying, God, come, break through into him. He knows what it is that I do and really doesn't understand it. But I'm going, God, just one way or another, bring some softening, take that hard heart, break it open and fill it with you.
Who are those that you're praying for? Who are those that you're inviting to things like Alpha? We've started Alpha again. I love it. I love listening on the conversations. And one of the conversations around the table this week was, I can't believe you have a drum kit in your church. It's amazing. Because people have got this perception of what church is. And the traditional stuff is really important. Well, I think we need to keep hold of that. But also, when I go to a coffee shop, there's a whole bunch of different flavors you can have now. And as a church, as a flock of followers of Jesus, we've got to have a whole different flavors going on for everybody to accept people. So I love the traditional this morning, sat in the stillness of our earlier service. But then to be here and just to be lost in that depth of love that God was pouring out on us is just beautiful as well. And I long for people to pick up on all of those different strands of the church. But who are we praying for? Who are we inviting? We've started a kids club here on a Thursday evening. And every Wednesday I go over to the school and I'll stand there and I'll say, hey, come along to Kids Life. It's going to be the best thing ever. And you get to cover me in shaving foam. It's amazing. And they're all like, yeah. That's a school of like 200 children. On Thursday, we had 10. And I'm like, Lord, where are they? And I can't pick them all up. There's safeguarding reasons for that. But I'm praying that God is going to fill this place. Like, my dream is 800 plus in here on a Thursday night. I don't know how we're going to do it. We're probably going to need a lot more helpers. But as followers of Jesus, we're asked to go as well as to stay. And who are we going to? Who are we? Bags of Hope is a great opportunity just to do that as well. Get involved so that we can bring hope into unexpected places. The last bit is all about the Father's love. There's a real beautiful bond between Father and Son, which is kind of mirrored in the way that Jesus is talking about him being the good shepherd and the sheep and his willingness to put his life down. And God is going, oh, I'm willing, I love you so much. John 3:16, God so loved the world. He loves the world so much that he's willing to let his Son die, so that we could have eternal life. This unity between them. And Jesus has got so much confidence in his relationship with the Father that he is willing to put his life down. We know in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's like, if there is another way, make it clear really quick. If not, your will, not mine. Why? Because there is a confidence in that relationship. We too can have that confidence in relationship because of the Good Shepherd and because of the Father's love for us. I had the joy of speaking to a church full this afternoon of young people. And I need to work on young people and their origami skills. But we had a load of fun, and it was just amazing to be able just to say, do you know what? Jesus died and he rose again for you, because we've all stuffed up. We've all done things wrong, but it's all because of the Father's love and his pursuit of us. One of my favorite films is Finding Nemo. Why? Because it's not Nemo who's the hero in it, really. It's his dad. His dad's relentless love. I'm going to go wherever it is that he is. It's a beautiful image of the lost sheep. So, I'm coming into land, I promise. We've got till 10, right? There's something about us knowing the Good Shepherd. There's something about us following. Who are we following? Are we willing to listen to his voice? He knows us. Do we know him? And it's a result of the Father's love. Now, the hired hands that it talked about at the beginning, later on in John 21, Peter's asked three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter's feeling a little bit riled by the third time because he's answered yes, and Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Which for me as a kids pastor is just beautiful because it shows the importance of us reaching out to children and young people. Then, again, "Do you love me?" "Yeah." "Feed my sheep." Third time, "Do you love me?" "Yes, I really do." "Feed my sheep." And some of the stuff that I was reading up on, it's almost like that is a reflection of what is now we're part of. That actually the sheep are being looked after much better than they were by the hired hands. And there's something of God's Spirit in that that flows through each of us as we care for those that are around us. I'm not saying that we are the good shepherds, but we are shepherds within the places that we work, within the places that we worship. Because people follow us. Because we might think about who are we following, but I'm amazed at people who follow me. And I tell them that's not a best idea in their life. But one of our young people, she got baptized in here on Easter Sunday morning. And she came up to me and she was a little bit worried. And it blew my socks off. And she came with her mum. And her mum says, "Rick, could you be a sponsor? My little girl really wants you to be her sponsor as you stand there and pray over her. Because a few weeks ago you were talking about Jesus, and you said, are you gonna stand on the side or are you gonna get in?" And she just said, "I want to get in." And I'm amazed at the opportunity that I get to do this job. But just because I do this job doesn't mean that that's the reason why people follow me. Because people don't follow us just because of what we do. People follow you and me because of who we are. And where do we know who we are? In the Father's love. Because we are followers of him because of the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. So what is it that you need? We're going to worship. We're going to sing until Dan can't sing anymore. Or Libby. Or Dari's hands fall off or whatever. But I really want us to press in. I think that as the words that were brought at the beginning about God just wanting to pour into you, into like almost a sense of vulnerability, because sheep are vulnerable if there's no shepherd. But actually there's a real stability when there is a shepherd. So as we go into a time of singing and I want to pray for you. I want team to come and pray for you, that you will know who the good shepherd is. That you will be, if you feel like you're not following very well, we want to pray for confidence that you will be able to follow well. Or maybe you just need to have a reassurance of the Father's love. I want you to come and bring it. I want you to come to the front. And it's nothing, not that this has been specially anointed or anything like that. It's just a sign of us going, "I'm going to step out and I'm going to come and I'm going to be prayed for." And if you're visiting here and this is the first time in your church and you feel a bit freaked out by going to the front in your own church, this is a great space to do it because you're not in your own church. But I encourage you to come forward and to be prayed for. Don't leave without being prayed for. So let me pray. As we stand, let's stand. Let's hold our hands out in front of us, ready to receive a gift.